Coming up, will your passion keep you poor? We break down a very popular video on this topic. And then CEOs are saying, you don't get a choice when it comes to remote work. We'll break that down as well. Let's go. Helping you win at work and in life so you're making more income and making a great impact. That's purpose and meaning. That's the good life. That's what we're here to help you do. So, in a sea of content on social media and YouTube, as a man of the people, I feel a responsibility to make sure that you have proper perspective when there is popular thinking being widely accepted that can truly distract you, create frustration, and beyond. So there's a popular clip out there entitled on YouTube entitled "Why Your Passion Will Keep You Poor" or something to that effect. Why you shouldn't follow your passion, sorry, and it'll keep you poor and all this kind of stuff. And this is provocative stuff. It's well done, a lot of views. The guy is Iman Godsey, and I agree with a lot of what he says, but I think a lot of what he's saying is confusing. And it needs to be corrected because there's a better perspective. So we're going to show a few of these clips right now, and I'm going to walk you through because this is a popular message, not just by this gentleman, but by other people in the social media world will say these things. And what they're doing is they're poo-pooing passion. They are making passion irrelevant, and they're partially right, but they're a whole lot wrong. I'll explain. Let's watch the first clip.
This is generally one of the biggest lies told by self-help gurus out there. And in this video, I'm going to tell you the three reasons why following your passion will keep you poor. Now, I want to clarify something really quickly. LeBron James followed his passion. Drake followed his passion. Virgil Abloh followed his passion. Look, if you're an athlete, an artist, a designer, of course, follow your passion. But in all fairness, these people don't even fully follow their passion. They still have to dumb things down or conform to get the results that they want. To put it simply, they have to be practical about their craft in order to get the reach and results and sort of money that they want. And that brings us to the first reason why following your passion will keep you poor. And that is that successful people put practicality first. It's funny, whenever I charter a jet for a flight, I always ask the stewardess what the owner of the jet does for a living. And let me tell you something, they never say, oh, he started a fashion brand or he started a coffee shop. They tell me they have boring businesses and things like waste management or that they started a software company that helps mortgage brokers.
Okay, so the first problem we have here is Iman discounts passion and then he validates it. So he's got the clickbaity material. Here's why your passion will make you poor. That's very extreme, very clickbaity, shocking, provocative, well done strategy on the video. But it's incorrect because he immediately validates passion by saying, well, LeBron James did follow his passion. So he's literally disagreeing with himself. And then he goes on to say in that clip, well, if you're an artist or a creative type, absolutely. And so he's validating passion, which is love, excitement, enthusiasm. That's what we're talking about for the work itself. So let's use the LeBron James example. LeBron James isn't being practical. LeBron James is being realistic. LeBron James loved the game of basketball as a young man. And LeBron also figured out, and everybody else that watched him play basketball figured out pretty quickly he was good at it. There's the combination. So when he says practical, if Iman means realistic in that I do love this type of work or this pursuit, I love the idea of the pursuit, but I'm actually good enough to pursue it, LeBron James, then it makes sense. You see what's happening? He's immediately confusing the viewer, saying one thing at one moment and then something completely different the next. So again, this is clickbait stuff. He's seen other people do this to great success. By the way, the final piece on this clip, oh, when I talk to people that I meet at my private airports, subtle, I'm super successful, listen to me, they tell me about their boring companies. No, they don't. They just don't. We'll get to more of that in a second. Let's get to the next clip.
You need to solve a problem, and that's the only thing that should consume your mind when building wealth, is how do I become a professional problem solver? So when you solve a market's problems, either through products or services, you get paid. So for this reason, you need to detach from the feeling or the need that you need to only solve, you know, colorful problems and, you know, problems that are airy-fairy and, ladies and gentlemen, when I was 8 years old, do you really think everyone went around the room and went, you know, I want to be an astronaut when I grow up, I want to be a football. And I said, yeah, so when I grow up, I want to have an advertising agency. And then from there, I want to start an e-learning platform. And then I want to start a software company for agency owners. Do you think I really said that at the age of 8 years old? No. And by the way, that also doesn't mean that I don't wake up and I'm excited to work. My work is more meaningful to me than anything else on earth, but I'm not particularly passionate about it.
What? Your work is the most meaningful thing to you in the world, but you don't have a passion for it? I'm confused. The very idea of something being meaningful is that there is emotion. It matters to you. You care about it. Come on. You see my point here? Be careful what you're watching. Does it make sense? That sentence doesn't make sense. It's very meaningful to me, but I don't have a passion for it. Okay, so it's meaningful, but it doesn't gauge anywhere on the scale of high emotion for you. It's just simply not true. I don't think he's trying to be deceitful. I just don't think he's communicating it very well. I do agree with him, by the way, that we need to look for problems to solve, but problems that are very personal to us. Three questions that I ask people who present to me as being directionless or clueless about what they want to do with their life are these three. Number one, who are the people that you would love to help? What is the problem or desire that they have? And then what is the solution to their problem or desire that excites you? So this is where Iman and I agree. But it's, again, not about practical problem solving. It's about personal problem solving. In other words, here's what I wrote down. Love and work have the same outcome. Service. If you aren't doing work that you care deeply about, it will become soulless work. I don't care how much money you make. So how do we figure this out? You need to be looking at how can I use what I do best, that's talent and strengths, to do work that I really enjoy, that is passion, to produce results that matter deeply to me, that's what motivates me. So successful people, whether it's a boring company, as Iman puts it, are all connecting that they were really talented. They use those talents to do something they enjoy. They may not enjoy waste management. But they may enjoy leading people and solving problems. You can do that at any kind of company. Casting vision. And they're motivated by excellence, motivated by achievement, motivated by service. So when we use what we do best to do work we love, to produce results that we care about, passion is a part of it. Talent plus passion plus mission or motivation equals purpose. Don't throw passion out. Remote and hybrid work are embattled right now. The waging war, let's call it truly a battle. It's kind of moving and shifting a little bit, isn't it? If you look at 2020 and 2021 and 2022, we saw that the people who wanted to work remote or hybrid, they were winning. The battle was kind of moving their direction. And now all of a sudden, with a recession being forecasted, layoffs showing up in the headlines seemingly every day from big-time companies, the leverage is now starting to come back because you got a lot of big-time companies and big-time CEOs going, we're not for remote work. We may do hybrid, but we want you in the building on a regular basis. And there's a big storm brewing. And I'm going to explain it in a second. But let's first, this is from a Forbes article. Just want to set the context here. Layoffs, employee perks, hiring freezes are now commonplace. People pulling job offers. That's happening more and more every day. And so there is a push now to force employees' hands because they've been afraid. Leaders have been afraid to say, no, you're coming back in the office. They were afraid that they'd leave them. But now they feel like, hey, I got a little more leverage. They're changing their tune. Watch this. All right, hang on.
What's the new normal? Is it coming into the office 4 days a week? Is it flexible? Is it work from home more freely?
I think it's very, very specific to what you do. You know, if you're a tax attorney who doesn't work with other teams, then obviously you can spend a lot more time by yourself. Doesn't matter if you're in an office or not. I mean, there are different kinds of jobs is where I'd start with. The main point is, post-COVID, we learned you can function. I ran Morgan Stanley for 3 months from my home office, right, with 73,000 people. So it's pretty remarkable. We proved you actually can do it by not going into the office. But should you do it by not going to the office? Now, that clearly, to me, the big answer to that is no. We won't put the genie back in the bottle. 5 days in the office for everybody is not going to happen again. For some people, of course. And at Morgan Stanley, we're kind of business unit by business unit. It's 3 or 4 days in the office. My rule has always been on this. If you're not spending a majority of your working time in the company of your colleagues, you are missing out on mentorship, on development, on EQ, on just reading the signals of being in a meeting and watch how people, you know, handle the stresses that go on and the unspoken body language and so on. So it's 3 or 4 days a week. I don't think that changes in a hurry. Some people in some businesses, our trading floors are cheek to jowl. You go in there, they're 5 days a week. So
now in this clip, he does not say what is in this Forbes article, which is a whole lot stronger than what you saw James Gorman say in that clip. He went on to say, he's talking about employees, don't get to choose their compensation. He's right. He says they don't get to choose their promotion. He's right. They don't get to choose to stay at home 5 days a week. I want them with other employees at least 3 to 4 days. So this is a big time player, chief executive of Morgan Stanley, who said for 3 months, I did run the company from my home office, but it is not best. That was a necessity at the time. It is not what is best going forward. And he's saying hybrid is here to stay. So it's not a complete return, but it is a return. Let's go on. Chief Executive David Solomon of Goldman Sachs, Jamie Dimon, Chief Executive of JP Morgan, have never fully embraced remote work. They have, in fact, settled on hybrid work. CEO of Disney, returning CEO Bob Iger, one of his first orders of business was to bring back workers to the office 4 days a week starting March the 1st. Context, more context. Some of these layoffs, not some, most of these big company layoffs are a function of two things. These big companies during the boom of the pandemic and then the year after 2020 and 2022 when, you know, it was just a boom. Business was crushing it. Consumers were spending big time. Well, they hired, they staffed up, which is what they always do to try to make hay, if you will, take advantage of a strong tailwind behind them. And the minute that a recession gets forecasted, the stock market changes. That's all speculative investing. It is what it is. But while it doesn't have a whole lot to do with reality sometimes, it's just speculation. These public companies are they're running their business based on that speculative stock purchase or sale. I mean, so I'm selling it or I'm buying it. And so what do? They start slashing real people because you are not valued. You are representative of an expense. So they'll cut you. Now, some have blamed remote work for some of this, but I think that while maybe true, it's not completely on the backs of remote work as to why you're letting people go. But just because it's not necessarily true doesn't mean they won't do it. And so here's my warning. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. I am legitimately concerned about the amount of social unrest to the likes that we've never seen it before in this country. I hope that I'm wrong because I'm scared if I'm right. And here it is. The supercell, the big storm that's offshore right now, threatening to come absolutely create havoc and destruction of people's lives is this. If there continues to be the tension between these big companies and their employees who don't want to come back into the office, who would prefer remote work or are pushing back against hybrid work, the research is already being done. Big companies are already looking at this, and they will choose expenses over people every day of the week and twice on Sunday. In other words, they will cut you to save money before you can even blink. And let me tell you how it's going to happen. Once companies realize that the pivots that they had to make during the pandemic to create efficient work from home, and they realize that if they can't get you back in and it's a fight, they're going to go, all right, we're going to farm your job. They're going to send your job, your American job, overseas to somebody in a foreign country who can do it remotely for half of what they pay you. Do you think that they're not already kicking this idea around? I remember seeing hourly workers protesting the streets in California. And I remember watching that going, keep it up. Keep it up. And the job that you're demanding $1 or $2 more an hour, they're going to replace you with a robot. And you can go to New York City right now and walk by a McDonald's just a block or two off of Times Square, and you won't even see a human anywhere in there unless you were to go behind the counter and look at who's cooking the burgers. Everything's kiosk. Everything is this. So here's my point. All good leaders prefer the human touch. These CEOs, and I've criticized Diamond for monitoring people and doing what I believe is nannyship, not leadership. But all these leaders want collaboration. I spent several hours with the CEO of Gallup in Washington, D.C. just 2 weeks ago, and we were talking about their data. And the data proves that it is better for people to be in the building together collaborating. So these people want to do what's best, but let me tell you something. You push them and push them and push them, and they're going to take your job. You white-collar worker that you're making six figures plus, and they're going to ship your job overseas, and you're going to see potentially hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of white-collar workers sitting at home with no employment, and it is going to create sheer havoc and social unrest, I'm afraid. Rocking in the free world, I'm Ken Coleman. I'll be honest with you, I wanted to kind of do my neck bob to that one, but I thought, oops, if I'm not careful at my age, I could get a crick in my neck. Got to be careful. Hey, if you are enjoying the show via podcast, thank you so much. We're growing like crazy, and we've been asking you to leave us a positive review, a 5-star review, if you are on the podcast platforms. And you're doing it, and my goodness, the team is sharing it with me, and I'm getting a little weepsy. So thank you for the kind words. But more importantly, you are the greatest marketing strategy in the world. So if this show is adding value to you on podcast, would you go give us a positive 5-star review and subscribe? That is helping us in the algorithm. And then if you're watching on YouTube, whether the full show or clips, will you subscribe and will you share? We are growing, we're up over 150% growth on YouTube alone. I am excited about that because this message is needed. I believe it. This ain't about me. It's about the message, which is this. You were created to fill a unique role in this world. You are needed and you must do it. And the result of that is incredible, incredible satisfaction to know that you're doing what you were born to do and you're going to make plenty of money as well. So thank you. Thank you. Also, I am going to be out on the road this year, and I need to make you aware of these things. Alex, I've got a couple things on the schedule I need to start telling people about so people can come out and see. But for sure, for the Ramsey Solutions spring tour of Building Wealth Live, where it's a very practical night of helping you understand how you can win no matter what the economy is. Building Wealth Live, anchored by Dave Ramsey, my mentor, and the grand poobah of all things Ramsey Solutions. He'll be there on the tour. And the nights that I'll be out, I'll be in Austin, Texas, February 23rd, with Dave, John Deloney, and Jade Warshaw. If you haven't met Jade, our newest Ramsey personality, and man, is she freaking talented. Man, you talk about somebody who's got the juice. Jade's got the juice. Well, that'll be a fun combo. And then I'll be on the final stop of the tour in Anaheim, California, May the 2nd. Dave Ramsey, John Deloney, Christina Ellis, a new Ramsey personality. She's fantastic as well. You'll love her story. And myself. Tickets start at $49, or you can get a 4-pack starting at $175. RamseySolutions.com/events. RamseySolutions.com/events to reserve your seats. And I got to tell you, Alex, I don't know when I'm going to be able to tell these folks, but I'm gonna tease it. I'm putting together my first tour. I'm going to be coming to some cities this spring. We'll announce it soon. And it's going to be awesome. It's going to be me and you in really cool theaters. And we're going to get breakthrough. That's all I can tell you right now. Details coming soon. I can't wait. Man of the people among the people. It feels right. So that's going to be fun. All right, back to the phones we go. Yessi is joining us in Chino, California. Yessi, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. How are you?
I am living the dream, Yessi. What are you doing?
I'm good. So I work 65 hours a week, and it's not enough. I am not fulfilled. What is my purpose?
Oh, boy. Well, you're bringing the easy questions to me today, Yessi. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's break down what you said. You work 65 hours a week and it's not enough. Do you mean it's not enough financially? You're not making enough?
Well, financially, I'm okay. I work 2 jobs. I have a full-time and a part-time. I just don't feel fulfilled at the end of the day. I'm bored at work.
I get it.
All
right. I can help with that. But I need to know why you are working so many hours. Are you trying to get out of debt? Are you saving for something? Are you cash flowing? What's behind working the 65 hours?
So right now I am working on the baby stuff. So I'm working on getting out of debt, which is not much. I have about $3,000 in debt. And from there, once I wipe that out, I am saving for a house.
Good. Well, we want you to save that emergency fund before we save for the house.
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm barely on baby step one.
Yeah.
The problem is that where I'm working, I'm just not happy.
I get
feel
it.
Like there's more for me, and
I'm
that's
sure
what
there
I'm
is.
Struggling
right.
with.
So I get that. So what is it that you want to do? And I'm guessing you think you don't have ideas. When somebody says, Ken, what is my purpose? My quick answer is to use what you do best, to do work you enjoy, to produce results that you care deeply about. That's your purpose, professional, occupational purpose, right? So that's the high level. That's what my Get Clear assessment does. And if you don't have the Get Clear career assessment, I'm going to give it to you. Do you have it?
I actually took it.
Well, wait a second. Wait a second. Do you have your purpose statement and your results in front of you?
I don't have them with me right now, but I'm an empath.
All
so
right.
I was looking more towards nursing. I just don't know if I would be good at it.
Well, wait a second. I don't have your results in front of me. But let me just pull up the this is what happens, folks, when you create something and you can actually go to it. Let's just go to the glossary, which is when you get your detailed report in the Get Clear assessment, we actually walk you through where you score highest in talent, what you do best, passion, work mm-hmm. you love to do, and then mission, what motivates you, okay? And yeah. Let's get to the glossary of talent because I'm going to take a stab here. Here we go. I'm going to take a stab that you are a very compassionate person. You have high yeah. levels of compassion, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Check. I wonder if you scored high or above average on connecting with people.
It was pretty high.
Pretty high.
Yeah.
Let me see. Folks, this is real time. This is fun. I'm betting that when it comes to passion, you scored high on caregiving.
Yes.
Okay. And I bet you scored high on protecting.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Hey, folks, by the way, if anybody ever wonders if I create my stuff, I do. I write my own books. I spent 2 years on this assessment. All right. I'm not bragging. I'm telling you, you can trust me. I don't even have her results, and she tells me she wants to be a nurse. Now, am I some Nostradamus? No, I'm not. Am I brilliant? No. It's that when someone tells me that they're interested in nursing and she goes, I don't know if I'm good at it. We just got to go, wait a second. What have you always been good at doing? What have people always complimented you on? And so I'm thinking all that and I go, okay, somebody who is interested in nursing is going to have the talents of compassion.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be empathetic. They're going to have the ability to connect with people. You know why I know that? Because we human mm-hmm. beings don't like to do things we suck at, except for golf. That's a whole nother story. I like golf, even though I suck at it, but it's a whole different animal. All right. So my guess is your number one missional result was service. Is that true?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Helping others fills your heart.
Yeah.
Gives you energy.
Mm-hmm.
You desire. Go ahead, say it.
It makes me happy.
Makes you happy.
Mm-hmm.
So. You have what it takes to be a nurse. You have the raw talents and strengths that are people related. You have a spirit and heart for people. You love working with people and you're good at working with people. True or false?
True.
Then isn't that all it takes to be good? You can learn the technicalities of being a nurse. You can mm-hmm. learn the fundamentals. But at the end of the day, a successful nurse will be a man or a woman who cares deeply about serving and caring for people. Everything else is technical. I can learn the technical. Here's what you got to figure out. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The proximity principle, a best-selling book that I wrote on this very thing. If I'm you, I'm spending the next 30 days talking to as many nurses as possible. I want to talk to a labor and delivery nurse. I want to talk to an ER nurse. I want to talk to the nurse that checks people in for surgery. I want to talk to the nurse who talks to people after surgery. I want to talk to a nurse in every corner of the world of nursing. Why? I'm going to clarify what's involved, the highs, the lows. And when I clarify, my heart will verify which type of nurse I want to be. Go, Yessie, go!
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.